Welcome to day 91 of my Everyday Bible. Welcome back. I'm happy you're with me again. And today we are continuing in the book of Judges. Today we will read from Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we will hear the very fascinating story of Gideon, maybe one of the most unlikely deliverers for Israel, someone who didn't think very highly of himself, and yet God used him to effect a great deliverance for Israel from the oppressors who were keeping them in bondage. So we will begin in the New American Standard Bible, Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock in their tents. They would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Now it came about, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you live, but you have not obeyed me." Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said to him, Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, The Lord is Peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Now on the same night the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah which you have cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him, and because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built, they said to one another, Who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon the son of Joash did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, Bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, Will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named it Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he has torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezerites were called together to follow him. So he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Then Gideon said to God, If you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, Do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on all the ground. Chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, My own power has delivered me. Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, This one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, This one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, You shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hand, So let all the other people go, each man to his home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterward your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp." So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outposts of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, "Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell, and it turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat." His friend replied, "This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand." When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." He divided the 300 men into companies. He put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hand. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army, and the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zerarah, as far as the edge of Abel Meholah by Tabath. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against Midian and take the waters before them as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. They captured the two leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb, and they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb. While they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon from across the Jordan. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Once again, in today's Bible passages, we find that the Israelites are in a very low state. They have sunken again into idolatry. They're in a spiritually very poor state, and they are being oppressed by the Midianites. It says in the beginning here of Judges 6 that the power of Midian prevailed against Israel, and the Lord had given them into the hands of Midian for 7 years because they had done what was evil in the sight of God. And the Midianites were people that actually the Israelites had defeated back in the book of Numbers just before they came into the promised land, and they had dealt them a severe blow, and it had taken some years for the Midianites to regain their strength and to be able to be in this position of essentially exacting revenge for what the Israelites had done to them. And the Midianites were an interesting people. They were desert dwellers, and when they conquered people, they didn't take over administratively, so to speak, and then become their king and order about their daily living. But instead, they had an interesting way of oppressing the people that they had conquered. They would wait until the people had sown their seeds and the crops had grown up to the point of harvest, and then they would swoop in like locusts, cover the earth, the scripture tells us, and they would reap all the fruit of their hard labor and destroy everything else. So they continually, year after year, devastated the land of Israel that Israel was living in, taking all the harvest, taking their food, leaving them in a desperate state, very literally hungry and weakened because of the destruction that they would wreak when they came into the area. And so we find Gideon actually beating out some wheat, which would be, he had harvested some wheat, now he's beating out the grain, but he was doing it in a wine press to hide in order to save it from the Midianites. So he was trying to avoid having all of the fruit of his hard labor stolen again, because this was a continuous issue that the Israelites dealt with. So they were living in very hard times as a direct result of their sin of idolatry. So we find another appearance of the Lord here in the Old Testament, when this angel of the Lord, as the scripture says here, but then when we go on in the story, you can see it has to have been actually the Lord himself visiting Gideon. He appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And Gideon's reply is very interesting. He sounds beaten down. He says, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord's with us, then why has all this happened to us?" Obviously, Gideon didn't have a revelation that it was the sin of the Israelites that had brought them to this low state. And he goes on to say, "Where are all his miracles, which our fathers have told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?'" That statement is very interesting because it gives us insight into the fact that the Israelites definitely practiced a tradition of oral history where they would recount what had been done in their history, what God had done with them as a people group, how their fathers had come out of bondage in Egypt. And so it was an oral tradition of passing the history on from one generation to the next. And then Gideon says, "But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord, it says, "The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" So the Lord himself is speaking to Gideon. And Gideon answers him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." So he disqualifies himself. He says, "How am I going to do it? We're the least of our family in the whole tribe, and I'm the youngest in my family." And the Lord reassures him and says, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." The story of Gideon is very profound for us as believers. God can use anyone. God chose a man who didn't think that highly of himself. He was the youngest, so in their tradition of culture, he would not be ever considered to be a leader. And he saw his own family as being insignificant within his tribe. And yet, God chose him. God saw something in him. And I would have to say it would be faith, an ability to believe God and God's word. And so when God spoke to him and told him, "I will surely be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man," this was the word of the Lord to him, that God was going to do something fantastic, marvelous, astonishing through this man, Gideon. But God was going to require something of Gideon that would basically cause Gideon to make a decision whether he was going to draw the line in the sand against even his own family with regard to obeying God. Gideon's father, whose name was Joash, was an idolater. We find that the Lord tells him he has to go and tear down his father's altar. His father had an altar built to Baal and a pole that was for the Ashtoreth or Asherah, the goddess of the Canaanites. And these two gods, false gods, Baal and Ashtoreth, they were male and female deities that were worshipped by the Canaanites, and the rituals of worship were totally lewd and immoral, and those were the things that were done as worship. And somehow this man Joash, who is an Israelite, and all the other people in the area as well, had fallen into the same sin of idolatry and had started worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth instead of the one true God. So what a challenge for Gideon. God spoke to him, you have to go and tear down this altar. He was basically calling Gideon to faith in him alone and a willingness to turn his back on even the pressure of family. You know, in our culture today, many people face a similar thing. Their families perhaps don't know the Lord, and they have a relationship with God, and they fear to tell their family they've given their life to Christ or to live as a Christian or as a believer before them. And yet it's what God requires of us. If you're ashamed before men, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So we're called to do as Gideon had to do. He had to stand up against his own father and tear down the altar and build an altar for the Lord and sacrifice on it. And he ended up doing it at nighttime, because he did fear even the people of the area. And so he got 10 reliable assistants to go with him. He tore down this altar. He built the altar to the Lord as the Lord instructed him. And you know, it's what God requires of us in our faith walk as well. I know a young man, a precious young man, in a certain Middle Eastern country that I won't reveal. And he was raised in a nominal Muslim home. And he was witnessed to by a Christian young lady, and he was led to the Lord through her witness. Eventually, he married that young lady, who happened to be the sister of a Christian pastor in that Middle Eastern country. He feared to tell his family, and literally for many months and even beyond a year, he never told them that he had given his life to Christ. And now he marries this Christian woman, and he had to own up to the fact that he had given his life to Christ and was now following Jesus and had turned his back on his Muslim roots. He feared his father's reaction. But what is interesting to me is, as I read the story of Gideon, it reminded me of that young man, because when Gideon tore down that altar and rebuilt an altar for the Lord, and the men of the city came to Joash, who was the one who had built that altar, and wanted to know who it was, and it was discovered that it was actually Joash's son Gideon who had done it. Joash, the father, ends up defending Gideon by saying, if he's really a god, let him contend for himself, which basically shows us that he must also have lost some confidence in Baal to deliver the Israelites, because they were in bondage and nothing was going well for them. And so he did not rebuke Gideon. And in fact, he defended him so that he wouldn't be harmed by the men of Israel who questioned him. And you know what? That young man I told you about in that Middle Eastern country had an interesting situation as well. When he finally revealed it to his father, he was able to lead his father to the Lord. His father also had lost confidence in the God of Islam being one who could help or rescue or in any way assist the family. And he readily turned his heart for the Lord, to the Lord. And to this day, he now helps around the church. I met him. He was sweeping the front steps of the church, the father of that young man. the very one that the young man was afraid to tell that he had given his life to Christ. So we're also called to be witnesses, even to family who we may think would never accept our witness of Christ. Gideon took a stand for the Lord. Gideon wasn't the bravest man you ever met. He was hiding in the wine press when the Lord found him. And yet, because of the word of the Lord to him, that the Lord would be with him and that God would give him the victory, he moved forward by faith. And in fact, when he went down to prepare for the battle, the Lord required something even more astonishing from him, something that would require intense faith, really. He had called for the Israelites to come and fight the Midianites. And this great company of men came. They had 32,000 men ready to fight. But when the Lord was finished with it, he had caused all but 300 of those men to return to their homes. So out of 32,000, Gideon ended up with a core group of 300 men. And the Lord chose them to bring the victory. And the reason was, and this is a word of the Lord for us as well, God did not want the Israelites to think that they themselves had gained the victory. He wanted them to be very clear that God had delivered them from the Midianites, not their own hand, not their own strength, not their brilliant military strategy, not their strength of their warriors, but instead he wanted the Lord only to get the glory. And you know, because it is God himself that wants to do the work through you, you don't have to worry that you're not the smartest and you're not the wisest, you're not the richest, you're not the most dynamic Christian you know. God's not looking for the brightest and the most dynamic to use their strengths and their abilities. God's looking for the willing and the faithful. Gideon was willing, and Gideon was faithful to do what God called him to do. And Gideon was faith-filled, meaning that he believed God could do what God said he could do. That's what he's looking for in your life. Are you willing to do something great for God? Not because you're great, your abilities are great, your talents are great, or you have great attributes in your own strength or great access to resources. The only resource you need is God himself, the strength of God, the word of the Lord. And God will encourage you as he encouraged Gideon. He encouraged Gideon in several ways, which we won't discuss today, but God is so kind that he even allowed Gideon to hear the account of a dream that the enemy had had, and that one of the enemy soldiers gave the interpretation. And the interpretation was that of the dream was that the Lord had given the camp of Midian into the hands of Gideon and his soldiers. So the Lord had already brought fear into the hearts of the Midianite soldiers because of this one soldier's dream and the other soldier's interpretation. And then he let Gideon hear it so that he would be encouraged that God was working on his behalf. You know, whatever you're facing today, maybe it's as impossible a situation as Gideon with 300 soldiers and some torches, getting the victory over a massive army that had been routing the land for 7 years. Maybe it's that huge of a difference in what you see as your own strength or your own resources and the hugeness of your problem. To natural eyes, this was an impossibility that Gideon and 300 men who were carrying pitchers, it was basically clay pots with a torch in it, that he would break and they would blow the trumpet, and somehow that scenario of 300 men around a massive camp with thousands of trained soldiers was going to be able to get a victory. Maybe your situation's that impossible. It was for Gideon, and yet God himself gave the victory. God wants to use you not your brilliance or your great talents. He wants His power used through your life to do miracles, to do signs and wonders, to do great works in the earth, to do great exploits. Gideon had a great faith. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 is called often the Hall of Faith. It lists all these various characters in the Bible who did what they did by faith, not by their own strength, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and it goes on, and it includes Gideon in that very amazing list. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, Gideon is mentioned. So it is all about faith, meaning that you trust that God can do what He has said He will do, not about your ability or your confidence level. Gideon was an unlikely hero. Maybe you're an unlikely hero as well. God wants to use you. Are you filled with faith? Are you willing to testify that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you trust in God, that your faith is in the Lord to do miracles, signs, and wonders? Then He's ready and willing to use you. God's looking for someone who is faithful and faith-filled, trusting in Him alone, not in their own abilities or strength. So don't disqualify yourself. All that's needed is faith in a great God, and you have one. God bless you this week in a special way.